I invite you now to listen for God's word from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Zechariah speaks these words. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all our days before him. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the year 2000, Stuart Manley, a used bookstore owner in Northumberland, England, was sorting through a large crate of books he had purchased at auction. There was a colorful piece of folded paper at the bottom of the box, and it caught his eye. He dug through the books to the bottom of the crate to find a bright red poster with the crown of the king, George VI, at the top, and below it in bold, bright letters, "Keep calm and carry on." Manley liked the poster, and so he framed it and he hung it in his bookstore behind the cash register. Looking into the origins of the poster, he discovered that it was created in 1939 by the British Ministry of Information, that it was created just prior to the Blitz, when Nazi planes flew every night for 2 months, bombing London and surrounding areas. The world had never seen anything like it. For the first time, planes could fly at night and drop those deadly bombs. For the first time, nightly air raid sirens, citizens taking shelter in their basements or running into subway stations, unbelievable noise and explosions, the unpredictability of where the attack might come next, fire, destruction, and daily death counts reported in the newspapers. The British people were understandably terrified. In preparation for these attacks that they expected were coming, the government created the posters, more than 2 million of them, in an attempt to portray the strong resolve that undergirded Prime Minister Winston Churchill's leadership in crisis. But the posters were never distributed. Soon after the war, they were almost all destroyed. 6 decades later, in Stuart Manley's bookshop, people began to ask him about the eye-catching poster. And so he had it reproduced, and the rest, as they say, is history. The original slogan and now hundreds of creative variations have become universally recognized, not just in Great Britain, but indeed around the world. My personal favorite this year is Keep Calm and Wash Your Hands. In an interview back in 2009, Mary Manley, Stuart's wife, said its message is so simple, so clear, so without spin. Keep calm and carry on. It has turned out to be meaningful, not just for a single people in a time of trouble, but for all of us, wherever we live, whatever our troubles. What is that meaning? Keep calm and carry on. It's a statement of persistence in the face of tremendous adversity. It holds a defiant, implicit hope that better days are coming, and makes a clear charge to hold on in the meantime. Thus, it's a message tailor-made for the second Sunday in the season of Advent in the year 2020. This year of unexpected crises that have tested us all. This year of daily death counts that have revealed so much of our shared humanity, our vulnerability. Advent is not a lengthy season on the liturgical calendar. Soon and very soon we will hear the angel choirs. Soon and very soon we will see the blinding light of the brilliant star. We'll feel the thrill of hope as a weary world rejoices. Soon the trumpets will sound, and soon even the powerful king will shudder nervously in his throne. But not today, not this morning. This morning we remember that this story is introduced not with fanfare or applause, but with these simple hymns about persistent waiting and dogged watching. The story is introduced by an aging couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, who make their home not in the centers of power and influence, but in the quiet rural hill country outside Jerusalem 2 millennia ago. Zechariah and Elizabeth are getting on in years. They're part of a priestly family, and Zechariah himself is a priest. He was probably responsible for a small chapel in their village. Once a year, with a group of priests, Zechariah makes his way to Jerusalem. It's the great honor to serve in the temple there. And on this one particular occasion, he is chosen to be the one who enters the Holy of Holies to light the incense. It's the honor of a lifetime many priests never had the chance. And while Zechariah's in there, something happens. A vision, a mystical experience, an angel. The angel has a command and an announcement. Zechariah is, of course, terrified. Do not be afraid. Fear not, the angel commands. For your wife Elizabeth will conceive and bear a son. You should name him John. How in the world is that supposed to happen? Zechariah says. We're both old, well beyond that. And the angel responds to Zechariah with a kind of punishment that is also a gift. For his deficit of imagination, the old priest is relieved of his speaking ability until that baby is born. And thus the old man is given 9 months of silent reflection. He is forced to keep calm and carry on, even as he watches Elizabeth bear the child whom the angel had promised. I think it must have been an interesting time in their household. Silent, watchful, waiting. a time of preparation for the coming of an unexpected gift. Zechariah prepares, and when the child is born, he speaks. He names his son John. And then the aging priest finds his voice. The first words out of his mouth are the words we just heard. They are a kind of joyful, reflective, tender poem. The birth of a child can turn fathers into poets, you know. The church has loved this poem for 2,000 years. This week, as I've read and meditated on Zechariah's inspired words, it has occurred to me that they are more than a description of what God has done. That Zechariah's prophecy hints at things to come. It is a hymn, yes, a prayer, yes, a song of grateful praise. But if we allow it, the words of the poem move off the page and into the story that lies ahead, quietly heralding the dawn of a brighter day in whispers. The church has given a title to these spontaneous verses, Benedictus in Latin, taken from the first word Zechariah speaks. Blessed. Blessed. That is, Zechariah breaks his long silence with words of blessing. And this week, he has convinced me that the language of blessing is what we need most this year. Zechariah knows that blessing is how we humans mark sacred moments. Zechariah knows that to acknowledge the presence of God in our midst when we are most tempted to miss that gift is blessing itself. Holding that newborn baby he never expected to see, miraculous gift he never imagined he'd receive, Zechariah sees in that infant's eyes the favor of God, and then he blesses that child. And you, O child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. But Zechariah is not finished there. The old man looks out across the generations. I imagine he looks to scattered souls virtually gathered in a time of crisis, and to us he speaks blessing as well. Words of blessing are powerful because they are grounded in a certainty. You see, in biblical terms, Old and New Testament, the blessing of God is irrevocable, unconditional, eternal. It is the one promise that holds fast when everything else is shaken loose, coming apart at the seams, disintegrating right before our eyes. The promise of God to act in saving mercy. It is the promise to which we cling when nothing else holds. That's the good news that Zechariah proclaims. But God's blessing, my friends, is not an object to be possessed. It is not a commodity to hoard. The wonder of a blessing is that it multiplies only when shared. Kept to ourselves, the blessing of God will rot in our hands. Offered to another, it is magnified and multiplied. We are blessed in order to bless. Among the many gifts of ministry, few mean more than the privilege of offering God's blessing. That is true whether in times of grief and pain or moments of joyful celebration. It is an honor to bless. Still, I must admit that the most memorable blessings of my life have not been the ones that I have given, but those I have received. Among them, this moment you now see before you, one that I will never forget. The day I was installed here at Second 2 years ago, when spontaneously our son Samuel made the sign of the cross on my forehead. Bless you, Daddy. That day of joyful celebration was a gift in so many ways, but that was the moment of pure blessing. Since it's just a few of us gathered intimately this morning, I'll be a bit vulnerable with you. I've returned to that moment, to that blessing, so often this year. When the pressure is mounting and the pathway is unclear, when the accumulated grief sits like a boulder on my shoulders, I hear it. Bless you, Daddy. God's strength is enough. Keep calm. Carry on. Zechariah cannot know what awaits his son any more than Samuel knew what awaited his father. The crises that John will encounter, the pain that he will feel. But Zechariah can trust God. You, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, and then the dawn will break upon us, all of us. Light to those who sit in the shadow of death, guiding our feet into the way of peace. Peace. It's the last word of this poetic proclamation. From blessed to peace, Zechariah speaks the word of the Lord. Guide our feet into the way of peace. It's a promise, a prayer, a blessing, a charge. Long before Zechariah the priest, Isaiah the prophet spoke of the coming Messiah, the one who would be called Prince of Peace, whose kingdom would be a place of safety for all, where care for one another would be stronger than care for oneself, where enemies would live in harmony, where peace would know no end. We who walk by faith can be certain that this kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, that peace will come. But until that day, we are charged to move our feet toward it, to live in anticipation of that coming kingdom, even as we await its arrival. How? Through Benedictus. We make our way toward God's realm one blessing at a time. We who know the ultimate blessing of salvation have also been commanded to extend mercy and compassion to others. That is our call this Advent season. To move beyond the arrogance of self-centeredness and share the light. To bless others, even if that means a little discomfort or disappointment on our part. Because remember, blessing multiplies only when it is shared. Zechariah's song suggests that we have a choice about how we will wait in the midst of crisis. priest commends the way of holiness, even sacrificial love. I can't help but think of those saints among us who rise every day and make their way into hospital rooms, nursing homes, intensive care units, classrooms. I can't help but think of the tireless efforts of those who serve in our food pantry and places like it across the globe, who ensure that our neighbors will have enough to eat. One blessing at a time, no fanfare, no trumpet blasts. Just sacrificial love. Just testimony to the light. A ray of hope to those who sit in the shadow of death. In each act, the dawn breaks from on high. The call of our faith is to join their effort. Each year I am moved and challenged by a powerful poem written by the great theologian Howard Thurman, titled The Work of Christmas. Like words of prophecy, the poem picks up a refrain from the past and casts it into the future. I now hear these words sung in the voices of Second's Choir, a beautiful version of Thurman's poem set to music. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoners, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. So here's one more variation this Advent season. Keep calm and carry on the work of Christmas. Amen.